I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. Ooh. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so fun. And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast's costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus mini-sodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part.
Hi, Hannah.
Hello, Victoria. And hello to our listeners.
Hello to our listeners.
Welcome to the CBC.
The CBC. Oh, you know me.
We could be the BBC alternative just for cookbooks. Anyone going to watch that?
Yeah, me.
I would watch 24-hour cookery shows if I could.
What cookery shows?
I'd happily watch Nigella all day long. I just find her vastly entertaining. I love it. And Nigel Slater, you know, bumbling around his kitchen. That shit, I used to watch that stuff as like a teenager and in uni and stuff. I loved it.
Yeah.
Very
Nigel
atmospheric.
And Nigella. They had a show, didn't they, for a while?
Yeah, they did. Oh my God, I must revisit that.
She's doing a Christmas thing, isn't she?
She is. She always does a Christmas special. I can't wait for it. Ooh, I love her. What would you watch?
What would I watch?
24 hours
I
of.
I like 24 hours of.
You don't have to watch it, but you have to commission it to be on the channel. Maybe right. Anthony Bourdain as well.
Yes, Anthony Bourdain. Because you're also, it's a travel show as well.
Yeah, I know. He was very philosophical. And like, there's a lot of life lessons to be learned from watching Anthony Bourdain.
I think so. And then you can't help but like Guy Fieri, you know, and his diners, drive-ins and dives. And he's just so personable.
I've never really watched him, but I have seen a meme saying that him and Paul Hollywood were separated at birth. Like parent trap style. Well. Anyway, what you been doing, watching, loving, wanting?
Oh, do you need a weather update?
Oh, hello, come on, there was a storm yesterday. This is your catnip.
There was a storm yesterday. Storm Ciarán, I believe it was.
It had the Irish spelling, didn't it? Ciarán.
I didn't know
if that was like a slight. It's always either women or Irish people who are storms.
I mean, I'm making no comment. Hannah and I were together very briefly yesterday.
Very busy
work day in the office. But luckily I managed to get home and away from Hannah in Storm Ciarán. Very own female Irish storm.
we judged a food-based competition at work, which was really fun.
We did.
Except I realise if we ever have to judge in any sort of capacity outside of our company, I need to work on my public speaking skills. I'm fine as long as we're in this little room ourselves and we're just talking to each other. But as soon as there's people looking at me, it all goes a bit, it's like I get blood, you know, your blood is pumping in your ears. I'm kind of got this glazed look in my eye and a manic smile. And I'm not responsible for what comes out of my mouth. I know, but on the inside,
you said the right things.
Yeah, but I just talked all the time.
It's fine. I did a small shot.
You did a s'mores shot.
Not during during the judging, but not during the like speaking.
No.
Hannah had a meeting that she couldn't have gone to having done a shot, but I didn't. So I did a s'mores shot, which
was
interesting.
Tell us about the s'mores shot. I think it was pretty inspired.
It was great. And unfortunately, that team didn't win the food competition, but for boozy effort, they could have.
Yeah.
It was... So they gave me a little biscuit crumb to put on my hand. They made me lick my hand and they put a little biscuit crumb on. So I licked that and then I did a shot of marshmallow vodka.
Yeah.
Or possibly gin. I don't remember.
It was vodka and it was BrewDog, I think. I looked at the label.
Was it?
Yeah.
And then the chaser was a little square of Dairy Milk chocolate.
It's pretty inspired.
Pretty inspired.
In retrospect,
and frankly, it was delicious. Yeah, did you have one after you came back?
No.
I don't like marshmallows generally, but I thought the whole thing. If in vodka form, I'm here for it. Well done to that. And if anybody wants to try that at home, apparently it was BrewDog.
Yes, and full credit to the. So the email team at our company. You have to cheers them every time you do a s'mores shot.
3 p.m. Anyway, we don't drink at work.
No.
But I was a very special judging competition, so
We take this seriously.
There were some good bits, some great cookies, some great sticky toffee pudding that Hannah was very interested in. Did you try that?
No, and I thought it was I kept jokingly calling it a vat of gravy because it did look like a vat of gravy, but the person then who made it did not look impressed. So that's why I was so enthusiastic about it, was compensation for my previous comment. Anyway.
So, yes, there was a storm. There was a small shot. It's really been kicking off here.
All going down.
But now I'm back to reality.
Back to life.
Back to reality. I've got a very sad bagel sitting next to me. That is so... Like, the bagel bread is so chewy that it's hurting my jaw to eat it. So I just think, like, maybe I'm just going to pick the sour cream, pick the smoked salmon out of it and eat it on something else. Anyway... that is food related though.
Yeah.
As is more cookbooks. We haven't really talked about cookbooks that we have seen, and I feel like we're ramping up to
cookbook
Christmas
season.
Releases and presents and stuff. So I feel like it's quite a lot coming out.
Yeah.
I'm noticing more, which I love because I love going into a bookshop. I went to a bookshop with you and I love browsing
yeah.
The titles. And seeing what I would like to buy.
Have you seen any lately that you are intrigued by?
So, Tim Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
A Japanese love of my life. He's not Japanese, but he cooks Japanese food.
Yeah.
And has a lot of books. He has a new book out about ramen.
Oh.
And I really should just buy it because I, as we know, I love noodles and ramen. Mm-hmm. And I have... I only have one of Tim Anderson's books, the one that's called Bowls and Bentos, I think.
That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the one that he wanted to call, like, your at-home kombini, but he called, but he, they didn't let him.
Oh.
But it's, like, stuff that you would buy at the kombini.
Genius.
What, the convenience store.
Did they not think the concept of kombini was well-known enough in...
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. And he, because his, the one before that was called Your At Home Izakaya.
Right.
And I don't have that one, but I've got friends who have it and I've flicked through it. It looks great. So he's a ramen one out and he is great. And I think it's amazing to be, to have succeeded as a chef in Japanese food, not being Japanese, I guess.
Yeah.
For him, I think he's possibly married to a Japanese person.
Yes, I think you're right. He's like that guy that was it in Chef's Table, and there's like an American guy who lives in Tokyo and makes this amazing ramen, and it's like
Ivan Ramen. Yes. Yeah.
And it's just amazing that he's not Japanese, but he's like the Japanese culture like celebrates his great ramen, which is amazing. Japanese culture celebrates? Ooh, the fuck? It's been a long week, plus.
If you're interested in Japanese food in any way, dear listener, you should follow Tim Anderson on his Instagram because he goes on all... I think he's writing a book about the... you know, I don't get too Japan nerdy here, but like the Hokkaido, which is the northernmost island in Japan, and like their food. So he's there all the time, obviously doing research, and it's just like fascinating how like deep he gets into like the different regions and stuff. And Hokkaido is quite like, it's cold and it's quite special in terms of like they have a lot of dairy and obviously a lot of fish.
Right,
and
yes.
That's not obviously fish is, but dairy isn't normal for the rest of China. Anyway, he's a great one. Have you seen any books?
The new Diana Henry one is intriguing.
Oh, yes. The new old one.
Yes. What's it called? It's a roast figs, sugar, snow.
Yeah, it's
food to warm whistle.
Publish, right? It's one of her first books, was it?
Interesting. I didn't know that. I'm literally just saying that I'm intrigued because I really like the cover. And it's a Diana beautiful Henry. Cover. It looks really comforting.
Not enough purple cookbooks.
Not enough purple in the world in general, I would say.
Mm, well, me too, actually.
And that How to Butcher Toast one by Tara Wigley.
It's all in rhymes.
Yeah, how fun is that? It's like Cat in the Hat, fun. But for food.
Yes. I haven't even seen that one out in the wild. I would like to just flick through it before I buy it. Maybe I'll just buy it.
Just buy it. Don't flick. Don't ruin it for yourself. Everything will be a surprise.
Don't ruin it for myself. And also that MasterChef one. That MasterChef contestant...
Alexina.
I think her name's Alexina, yeah. Something like that. She has a book out called Bitter, which obviously appealed to me because I'm bitter.
You must eat so many lemons because I am so bitter. Yes, that looks great. And it's a great name for a cookbook.
Yes, and it's beautiful as well. It's got that beautiful, like, Molly Blaz blue, actually. It's that kind of speak of the devil.
She's moved away from the blue, guys.
She has. She's in a red era.
She's like Taylor Swift.
She's like Taylor Swift.
Shall we get to the book at hand, then? To the red?
To the red. Let's get in the red.
So.
M-bars.
We have talked about Molly Bars before.
We have
covered her first book, Cook This Book, in our previous season. So you may want to have a listen to that. What I will say about that is, and I think we nodded this in the last episode of our last season, was that it turned out to be one of the books that I kept coming back to. And I was really surprised. Same. And not surprised, but like the recipes are good. And I would like more veggie ones in that Cook This Book. But yeah, that's just kind of a passing thought. But since then, so if you want to hear about Molly Bars's like career and bio and stuff, we talk about it at the top of that episode. Since then, I feel like she's only just gotten bigger and bigger. So did you know, Vic, that she has a line of wines?
I did know that, yeah.
Did you?
And it's called like Drink This Wine or something.
Drink This Wine. And the website is like so her and like cutesy. It's like DTW and then like pictures of her like quite seductively eating some food. And then there's like a big heart with her in it and it's called like Crush Club. And then it's like Join Da Wine Club, like Da, like nobody says that anymore. Crush Club is a wine club. With each new drop, you get access to your favorite wines. Like, say hello to three perfect fall ladies and, like, lots of exclamation marks. Oh. It's a chillable red-ish wine, a snackable sparkling red, a gluggable skin contact.
Red-ish? What's red-ish? How can it be? It's red or it's not?
Look, we're back here, guys. Like, we're going to take, you know, whenever we talk about Molly Bars, we take the piss because she's very, I don't know, like what, millennial, Gen Z, like loves to like abbreviate, loves to try and put her own spin on things. And
she's very like bold and that's her whole like thing. I would love to try her wines. Because yes. I'd want to know if it's style over substance.
Yes, me too. I would be really intrigued. She also, I don't know if she had this at the time that we recorded that last episode. She has a collection with Crate and Barrel, where it's all like quite like beautiful cookware, and there's like a microplane, but it's Molly Bars blue. And it's like a lot of it is her blue and then kind of lots of tea towels and bowls in kind of primary colors. And it does actually look really nice. She's really
nice.
Diversified is what we're saying. She's got a recipe club. So it's like $5 a month. And then you can like gift it. And then you get like exclusive recipes every week. There's big ass monthly giveaways. Pictures of her weenie dog, who we now know is called Tuna, because in that episode we questioned why she was wearing a Tuna nameplate necklace. And then everyone wrote in being like, that's her dog.
And since then, I now have a necklace that says Samosa, and Hannah has one that says Dog.
I would actually love a necklace that says Dog. If anyone wants to get that for me. I mean, he has to wear one because he likes to run off on us.
I would like a subscription to Molly Baz's Recipe Club if anybody, you know, if you're buying Hannah a necklace, I'll have the gift subscription to Molly.
Well, you can gift it. She has that up there.
Yeah.
There's quite an interesting interview with her in Elle magazine, actually, where she talks about like getting burned out working at restaurants, and that she was dating, like she was working in a restaurant where she was dating the sous chef, and then that whole environment just became her whole life, and it was really unhealthy. They were kind of, you know, they all become really family, like become like family and really tight knit, and then they're working these weird hours, and that kind of life doesn't integrate well with the real world, and that's why she kind of branched out, because she just wanted to like get to the real world a bit more. But I would recommend reading it. It's quite interesting, and it's about how she kind of has become quite famous quite suddenly. And I mean, she comes off very humble and normal. But yeah, her main kind of thing in that is that, and that's what she brings into this book, is that her mission is to teach people how to cook better at home, which is kind of comes through in this. But She talks about how Cook This Book was all about good technique and how to build flavor and create balance in her food. And that was kind of the fundamentals. But now this is like, yeah, how to make more and more of that food that you're making at home. And boy, is this book like more is more. Like the every cover, every page is jam-packed with like big fonts and like diagrams. Wasn't I messaging you being like, this is, I get it, right? It's cool. It's like the concept is all threaded throughout the book, but like some of the pages were like giving me a headache. There was so much going on with them.
Yes, it's got this font for all the headers and the front page of the book. And so one of our listeners messaged us actually before either of us had the book and said, like, oh, I've just seen Molly Bass's book. And it's like exactly what you said. Like, oh, it's giving me a bit of a headache. It's got this like, it's a bit rodeo, like western-y font, isn't
yeah,
it?
That's and, so but true.
It's very, it's a love it or hate it, I think. And it can be quite hard to read on some of the pages.
Yes.
Because it's just the way it is. So that's worth bearing in mind. But yeah, it's fair. I love how colourful it is. And
yeah.
She's pivoted to this like red, right? Like, you know, somewhere between like red and like coral, would we say? Like a,
yes.
Like a very reddy coral.
Yeah. And the photos are very, I mean, you know, they're very styled or whatever, but they almost have like a 70s kind of
yes.
decadence feel, filtery kind of
yes.
thing going on.
And she's
some with her.
Quite 70s.
She
has a lot of flares
70s.
On in a lot of these.
Yeah.
Like this one, this like behind the scenes pic.
Yes. Where she's like basically quite doing the splits. Yeah, yeah, I feel like her image has changed a lot since Cook This Book. So Cook This Book, she was always wearing like the pinny. Her hair was always up in a bun. It was very like practical. And in this, she seems a bit more like floaty. Hair is down. She's more like relaxed. She's walking around in, yeah, these flared trousers and stuff. And yeah, she's had a bit of a rebrand, I think.
And I don't know what we said about her last time, but she lives in LA now, and that might be the reason. I don't know if she was living in New York before, she just moved, but maybe that's the difference. Maybe
it's very LA.
This book was a very, you know, New York, bon appetit, like she'd just come out of that world.
Yeah.
And now she's moved to LA and things are just a bit more free and everything's like. Lemons feature incredibly heavily in this book.
Yes.
Both in the recipes and in like a little, she has this little lemon friend, like a little
diagram.
What's the word? Diagram, a cartoon of a lemon. If it's
yeah.
a recipe that's like quick.
That's right.
And it's like a little lemon with arms and legs like running.
And it wouldn't be a Molly Bass book without the recipes, you know, being called mental things.
To give her her due, I feel like possibly she's calmed it down a tad, but when it goes hard. Like
what are you talking about? Put the lime in the coconut cornbread with salty coconut jam, or what do we have? We've got the tangled leek za, which is pizza. But it's za.
Yeah.
For those of you who can't be arsed to say Pete.
Yeah. And
Chicky bread.
Chicky bread. Crick cracks.
Everyone loves a crick crack.
A crick crack, which is in the chapter that's called Snick Snacks. Crick cracks is the recipe. Snick snacks.
And all it's the of way of life.
All of the like chapter titles are like, so the, for example, the crick cracks, no, sorry, yeah. The snick snacks,
yeah,
is the name of the thing, but the whole name of the chapter is a couple snick snacks never killed nobody.
Oh, what about if you show me your sando, I'll show you mine.
Yeah.
Of course it's sando. My interests include but are not limited to carbs.
I thought you should know that I rarely eat breakfast.
Oh, did we? Need to know that. Halloumi, yeah, kook, and walnut spoon salad. Kook. You'll have a kook. Yeah, she has maybe dialed it down a bit, to be fair.
When I read that kook one, I almost texted you and I was like, I don't know what this means. Like, and I think I said that last time about cucumber, like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't read to me like the right thing.
No, but it's not just her anymore. I saw, like, someone on Mob Kitchen or someone calling them kooks. So I feel like it's an epidemic.
I don't know if it's Gen Z, but it's...
What about Moles Bowls? Moles? Moles Bowls. Oh, they're meatballs.
The ultimate slight with the... And Hannah knows this because when I saw it, I was like, I cannot believe that this is the name of a dish. But she has a dish called Umam Lasagne. And that is short for Umami Lasagna.
I think in your accent, it's not achieving what she wants it to achieve.
You think it should rhyme in like an American Umam Lasagne?
Yeah, I think it's like, and if I were to say it, I'd probably say Umam Lasagne. So it's like, but she, I think that's what she wanted to do. I agree. I agree. It's batshit. I'm just saying she hasn't thought about the localization of these things.
Well, that's another thing I have with, another issue I have with her. And if we're going to compare her to Alison Roman, which I will, because they are, if you took the recipes out of the two, an Alison Roman book and a Molly Bass book, without all the stylization and brand of each of the chefs, I think they would be similar, a lot of them. I think you wouldn't be able to tell them apart.
I think Molly Bass's would be better.
Yes, you're right. But Molly... No.
Alison
Roman's most recent book...
Yes.
...had grams. And this book is all in cups and sticks of butter. And
yes,
I believe that might be the point, because the whole thing is like, you know... Don't rely on a recipe, buy my recipe book.
Yeah.
But I just wanted some grams. I was having to be like, how much is 8 ounces in grams? How much is this in grams? And it's drove me a bit crazy. And I just feel like, I don't know if Alison Roman did that as like a localized thing or because it was a baking book.
I think it would be that.
I think she had both. And yeah. I just could have done with both.
I agree. That was annoying. Also, yeah, while we're on it, like, it's not a huge amount of veggie stuff in here.
No.
A lot of meat.
There's a meat section and a chicken section.
Yeah, right? And then there's a smallish veg section, which aren't necessarily, like, meals. You know what I mean? They're...
Yes.
The sides. Yeah, a lot of the time, like green beans or potatoes. I don't know. It's a shame for me because I do actually really like her recipes for the most part. So, like, when in the Sando section, I was like, oh, yes, this has to be something good in here. And it's like, there's a lentil burger, you know? But to be fair, the Reuben that she has is a veggie one. I thought it would be packed with meat. So, yeah.
And when you said that to me, that was a veggie one, I couldn't believe it, because nowhere on that page is it advertised that this Reuben, which is a very famous sandwich that has meat in it, is a veggie one. And like, why wouldn't she?
She could do it some little like symbols or something. So, you know, there's plenty going on already. Just add more into the mix. That show it, but she says in the intro that she realized the thing that she loves about a Reuben is more the like sauerkraut and stuff like that, which is what it is. But we haven't talked about the drink breaks that she has in between.
Love them.
They are good.
Didn't have the opportunity to make a drink, but I think I'll go back. She has a martini one, right? But the one that really caught my eye.
Oh, yeah.
Was the salty citrus shandy.
Oh, I don't know if I saw that.
I don't know what page it is. But yeah, it's like a beer and citrus and salt.
229. Hold on. Bear with, caller. Oh, yeah. These drinks pages are absolutely hectic. So this has...
Oh, my God, yeah.
3¼ pounds of mixed citrus, such as lemons, limes, grapefruit, and or oranges, sugar, salt, ice, and wheat beer or pilsner. And then you remove the zest and the sugar, and you put the zest in the sugar, and then you put some hot water in it, so you make it almost like a syrupy thing.
Mm.
And then you squeeze the citrus into the jug, spread some salt on a plate, put one of the spent citrus halves around the rim of each glass and roll the rim in salt. Fill each glass with ice, citrus syrup, citrus juice, and then top with beer. Ooh, so it's like a really posh radler.
Yeah.
Kind of. Or shandy. Yeah, obviously shandy and radler. It's a radler.
Love that.
Sorry, was I just read out a whole recipe. No, but I did. Yeah, I would like that. The Bloody Mary sounded interesting, but yes, of course she's called it a Bloody Molly. But yeah, she calls her pina colada penicillin, like penicillin. frankly, I needed a penicillin after. No. anyway, it's classic Molly. So, my friend, what did you make?
Molly. So I made two things.
Okay.
What am I going to start with? One of them you've already mentioned. Oh. And it was the Tangled Leek Czar.
You made it. Oh my God. Okay, yeah. Tell me everything.
Did you make it? No.
No, I was tempted. So tell me more.
So it is a pizza. It's a pizza. But so, she's calling it a czar. Tangled Leek Czar. It is like a white base.
Yeah.
With like this pile of like thinly sliced leeks on top.
Yes.
So I was making both of these things together because we've had incredibly busy week. So but it was great. So what you do is you use store-bought pizza dough.
Yeah, saw that.
Dreamy.
Yeah.
I was worried that I wouldn't be able to find it because that doesn't seem like a thing that we really have.
Yeah, yeah. True. You but don't I did see find them it. As much anymore. Oh, okay. Easily?
Pizza Express do a pizza dough that you can buy in Sainsbury's.
Right.
And it was lovely.
Oh, great.
It's currently on Nectar Price for anyone that's in the UK. yes, lovely. That you don't have to worry about that, which I really appreciated. And her other pizza in here, there's like a grandma style pizza that she has.
Yeah.
Also uses store-bought dough.
Right.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
So what you do is very leek heavy. And what I will say is basically she uses like the very dark green bit of the leek.
Yeah.
In the pizza, like the white sauce. Oh. However, when you buy leeks in Sainsbury's or generally in the supermarket in this country, they've had that bit taken off. So I struggled a little bit to have those, but I just used like the very top of my leeks.
Okay.
So she says you basically chop the dark green bits you just chop them up quite small, and then you make that into a sauce. And so you do that with, you get a skillet and you put a few big glugs of olive oil, which comes up a lot. She's honestly wiped me out of olive oil over a medium heat. And you add the leek greens with smashed garlic, I think 3 cloves, so just smash it, salt, pepper, and then you kind of make those like translucent, so you just kind of cook them for a few minutes, and right, then you add 3/4 cup of heavy cream.
Mm-hmm. She loves cream.
Yeah, she does. And 4 thyme sprigs, like full ones,
right,
to just get the thing. So you just leave that on the hob to like boil and thicken, mm-hmm, for a few minutes. You take it off the heat and then you zest a whole lemon into that.
Loves a lemon.
Yeah. Loves a lemon. There's like a diagram, isn't there, in the one of the first few pages about the what ingredients she uses the most in the book.
Yes.
And she uses lemons like 32 times or something. Jesus. In this book. So
she was making our rating easy for us with that diagram.
And also, before I decided what I wanted to make, I looked at that diagram and I was like, well, I'll just pick up lemons anyway, because I'm probably going to need them.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's your sauce, and that's done. And you put that in the fridge for 10 minutes to cool.
Right.
And then you have got... So your topping, essentially, is the rest of your one large leek.
Yeah.
Cut into 4-inch pieces and then julienned.
Okay, yes.
And it's really easy to julienne a leek.
I love julienne.
Because they just fall apart.
Yeah, they're so great.
Yeah. So you've got a lot of like very thin bits of leek. And then you need 4 ounces of mozzarella cheese.
Okay.
Like fresh.
Yeah.
So that's about one like ball, essentially. Yeah. That's what I used. And then she wants another 4 ounces of Fontina cheese, which I couldn't find, but I used Gouda, so like a soft mildy cheese, and you just cube that up, and then you just kind of build this pizza. So also she wants you, because you're trying to emulate like a pizza stone in your oven, this was the hardest bit.
Okay.
And so she suggests getting a big baking tray and flipping it upside down and putting that in the oven to heat up.
Right.
At 500 degrees, which in, is like 260 degrees. So that heats up, you know.
Yeah.
Yes. I was very worried about the fire alarm going off.
Yeah.
So you heat that one up, and then with another big baking tray, that's how you build your pizza, because you need, you essentially use that as like a peel.
Okay,
it gets very messy.
Oh no.
So you've got your dough, which has been resting at room temperature, you've got out of the fridge.
Oh, so it's stickier.
And then you, on your overturned baking tray that you're using to build your pizza, you spread some cornmeal, which helps it not stick. And then you've got floured hands to deal with your dough. And she says to make a rectangle, but she's like, whatever you're using, fit that shape. She's like, if you've got a pizza peel, make it to fit that. So you kind of just spread it out into a, she thinks she says 9 by 15 square rectangle, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you put your, you get your sauce out of the fridge and you put that over the top, like a lemony. Oh, that is gold, like it's beautiful, like little creamy lemony leaky sauce.
Yum.
Spread that out, leave an inch over the top, and then in the meantime you've also your leeks, your julienne leeks, you've kind of covered them in olive oil in a bowl and salt.
Right, okay, yeah.
So you do sauce, and then you put your cheese, so you rip your mozzarella and sprinkle your cubes of cheese, and then you grate a little bit of parmesan over the top of that.
Yeah.
And then you essentially dump your leeks all over the top.
Nice.
In like a big pile.
Yeah.
And she keeps telling you to make sure you can like wobble your pizza so it moves, so that when you try and slide it into the oven, it's not sticking. Which I would say is an incredibly important part of this process.
Yeah.
Because getting it in the oven is... The oven is very stressful.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
She says, Shake the dough from time to time to as you build the pizza to ensure it's loosey-goosey.
Oh, God.
Okay. Of course. You drizzle over olive oil just to finish it off, but make sure the olive oil doesn't touch the pan because that will make it stick. And then, yes. Oh, by the way, when you put the sauce on, you take the thyme sprigs out.
Out, yeah.
Which is fine. And, yeah, quick dusting of Parmesan, and then you've got to get it in the oven.
Oh, was it really shit?
It was, this was hard for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I got it in there in the end. But yeah, just if you do it, just make sure you're like, you can wobble
it.
And yeah.
It's
transfer
so hard
it to an oven.
Yeah, when the oven door is open and you're trying to get it onto a hot tray and you're...
Yeah.
I hate all that, yes.
Yes.
You're just bound to burn yourself or drop something or something.
Exactly. It just ended up like a weird shape and because it was all kind of... It was a bit stuck and whatever. I got it in the end and it was fine. So then you cook it for about 14 minutes, I think. No, you don't. 16 to 20 minutes until the crust is blistered and the leeks are kind of... browned and frizzled. Get it out. You got to let it sit for a minute, put some olive oil, some more parm, and then serve. It was great. I really liked it.
Oh, good. I didn't know where that was going. I wasn't sure if you were going to say it was.
It was quite a stressful time.
Yeah.
Getting it in the oven and getting it out and the cornmeal and everything just made it a bit messy.
Yeah.
It was a messy build and the leeks everywhere. But I really liked the taste.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I thought it was
great.
Really, really nice. There's something about like the lemony, creamy base was just, and then like the leek. The leeks just add something that you don't get from an onion.
We all know. I love a leek. Love a leek. They're great.
And she seems to think they're underrated, but I don't think they are. I think that they're... she uses them a lot in this book, actually. There's a lot of leeks.
Yeah. But, I think they're a bit underrated, but yeah. Maybe that's
Do you know what? I said this at the time. Do you know what I think this would be really good as? A pasta.
I was just going to say.
That creamy sauce, you could even like char the leeks separately and then fold it through pasta.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to fuck around with getting it in the... oven on a really hot oven and worry about waking your toddler up, setting the alarm off. But yes, it was, you know, I think I'm gonna make that sauce again as a pasta as a pasta sauce because I just think it would be lovely.
Yeah, it'd be nice if like a tagliatelle or something and then you've got the long strands of the leek. I love that.
Yeah,
yeah,
love it.
Delicious.
Or you could make it as like little pizzas,
yes,
which would be easier to get in the oven.
What would Molly Baz call a little pizza?
Pizzinis. So that was good. I liked it. Still got some in the fridge, actually, which I was going to bring in to when I saw you yesterday. That was what I was going to bring. But it was a bit stinky, like lemony and garlicky and leeky. Ooh. And I was like, didn't want to bring it on the train.
Yes.
Also, you know, I was worried that it would attract all those bed bugs that are on the tube.
Big fans of leeks, the bed bugs, yeah.
Yeah, love them. Okay, the second thing I made, and I will rush through because I realise I'm talking loads, was the green chicken soup with chickpeas and sizzled coriander.
Oh.
From the chicken section. And I think I've talked about before in her last book, Cook This Book, she's this like the golden chicken soup.
Yes, yes, yes.
To like, basically, I feel like that's the base recipe. It's not,
right.
It's not in any way the same, but like the way she cooks it is the same.
Yeah.
And it's of, which I thought a lot about this book. I thought there's a lot of similar recipes.
Yes. There's like a Caesar salad, eggs or something, isn't there?
Yes. And there's, I made that kind of beans and greens mac and cheesy thing, and in this one she has a mac and greens with actual macaroni, and I was like, interesting, but that's fine, she has a brand. So this is, this was lovely, you know, straight off the bat, just to say, it is a soup, it's incredibly, like, it feels very, like, fresh and, like, hearty and good for you and, like,
perfect,
you'd want
for
it.
Fall. Just perfect for fall.
It is perfect for fall. it's really perfect for fall. In classic Molly Baz soup style, this is the same with the chicken one in the other book as well. It's, like, massive. Yes. I don't have a pot big enough.
Huge portions everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere, massive.
You obviously need the Dutch oven that she gave out at her book launch. That was this red and branded with more is more on the little handle.
Nice. That is the dream, to be fair.
Send us one, Molls. Yeah.
I think we need to be a bit nicer about it.
No, we're nice about her.
We are.
Also, this picture, it's on page 196. This picture, the grass that she's sitting in looks so fake. I guess because she's in LA and, like, there's not a lot of, like, green grass. Yeah. I mean, it's not, but it just looks really fake.
Do we need a toe in that shot, is my question. Toe soup. Know,
feet on main. She's got a lot of that. So you sweat down a leek. A chopped up leek.
Yeah.
But you have to discard the hairy end.
Oh, God.
Which I think is a weird thing of calling it.
Yeah.
Chop that up with, and then an onion and a stick of celery. You chop those up small and kind of sweat those down for 8 to 10 minutes with some salt and pepper.
Yeah.
And then you add 6 cloves of chopped garlic.
Wow. Yeah, she loves garlic too.
She does, yeah.
Yeah.
And red pepper flakes and cook until aromatic. And then you add, like, the bulk of this, which is... and I resent the way she writes this next bit. She says, add 10 cups of water, the chickpeas, the barley, I used rice, chicken thighs and salt, and like 10 cups of water is a lot, but I'm not adding that first, Molls. I'm gonna add all the rest of the stuff and then see how much water I can fit in.
Yeah, totally. That's weird.
So you add a can of chickpeas that are drained but unrinsed.
Okay. Oh,
you
got that.
The can of chickpeas that I used broke my can opener. Thanks for that.
Wow.
A cup of rice or barley. 1.5 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken thighs and salt. So I added all that and then added my water, and I got to about 8 cups before my Dutch oven did not take any more.
Yeah, some of the quantities, like, are too big for the average dish size or the pot size or whatever. It's like,
that's it. I don't know who has got things this big, like,
I don't know. And why are you feeding that many people?
Like, exactly. Yeah, well, I've frozen so much of this because what the hell am I gonna do with it? I won't eat it, but anyway. So then you bring that to the boil. She says to, like, skim off the foam as you go, and then, like, cook it until the chicken and barley are tender and the soup has reduced and thickened, which is great. And then whilst you're doing that, you chop up a bunch of coriander and a bunch of dill.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make the sizzled coriander, which is essentially chopped up coriander seeds. Okay. So she says you can either chop them or put them in a pestle and mortar. Right. And then you cook that in several tablespoons of olive oil. So not glugs, but tablespoons.
Okay, yeah, good
for this one. And then I just cook them with some black pepper until they're, like, sizzly, believe it or not, and then take it off the heat and season them with flaky sea salt, and that goes on the top. And then to finish off the soup, you take, and this, she does this in the other recipe as well, you take the chicken out
right
and shred it separately.
Yeah.
it gets shredded. And then you add 8 ounces of spinach to the pot.
8 ounces.
That is about, was that about 400 grams, 200 grams? Don't remember.
Yeah.
I added frozen, because that's what I had. And then you transfer 2 cups of the soup into a blender with half of your herbs, so your dill and your coriander.
Oh, okay, cool.
And you whiz that up till it's super smooth, and that's basically what makes it green.
Oh, right, like, okay, what makes your soup green.
So you add that back, and you add the chicken back, and then you add the juice of 2 lemons.
Wow.
And you can add a third if you want to.
Except, you know, you've run out of lemons. The supermarket's out of lemons. Everyone's...
Oh, jeez. you know, my hand is like, you know, any tiny cut on my hand is like absolutely in agony because I'm juicing so many lemons. And then you serve it and you serve it with the sizzled coriander, a little oil on top, and then with some yogurt as well.
Yes.
A hefty dollop, I believe, of yogurt.
Was it good?
Yeah, it is really good. It's just, it's a lot of ingredients, but it's really nice. Mine wasn't as green as hers in the picture. That's possibly because I used frozen spinach, or it might be just because, I don't know, whatever. Who's to know? It's not always perfect. But it was really, really nice. It felt very, like, say, like, good for a fall.
Good for a fall.
Very hearty. Because I added rice as well. It was probably thicker than hers looks.
Yeah.
I feel like you could also, if you wanted to, sizzle some chickpeas in that coriander mix, and that'd be a nice little crunch for the top.
Yeah, good shit.
Yeah, I loved it. Awesome. We'll talk about it, but there's quite a lot more that I wanted to make. Yes. But yeah, I've got loads of that in the freezer for now.
You'll be making your way through it for the rest of the season.
What did you make, my friend?
I made 2.5 things.
Oh.
So the first thing,
because you ran out of lemons.
I ran out of steam. The first thing I made, you've already mentioned, is the Rarebit mac and greens.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so this is like a cross between Welsh Rarebit, which for anyone who doesn't know what that is like cheese on toast, but with like, I think they make like a beery sauce maybe, and like there's some Worcester sauce in there and stuff. It's quite like, it cuts through the cheese. And then it's mac and cheese, but then there's some greens in there. So yes, because it serves 8 people. So I was like, I'll have this. And then I kind of just messed slightly, like basically what I ended up doing was making the whole quantity of pasta, but half the quantity of sauce. And I was a bit worried that it would be not a bit dry, because the pasta was only like how many ounces again, because everything's in ounces, I was just confused. 12 ounces of curly pasta, so it was 6 ounces, and when I weighed it out it wasn't that much, and I was like, I did the full quantity of pasta, half the sauce, but it was still good. So I feel like it would be very saucy if I'd done all of the sauce.
Yeah.
And also there's so much cheese. So she uses 1.5 pounds of mixed cheeses. And basically half of that with still like 2 blocks of cheese. So,
oh my God.
Anyway, it was a lot. So what you do is you kind of prep your stuff. The greens that she says to use are kale or spinach or collards or mustard greens. I just use spinach. Mm-hmm. So you cook your pasta until it's just short of al dente. And then you make your cheese sauce on the side. So how you do this is slightly different to your typical roux. You melt the butter like you would if you were going to make a roux. And then you add in garlic, which is a nice addition. And then you put in your flour. Oh, yeah, so far so good. You've got a roux. And then you whisk in the beer until it's smooth. So your beer is like taking some of the space that the milk normally would.
What fun.
Yeah, and then that you put in cream and milk as well as the beer. So I feel like the cream makes it very quite rich. And I actually used coconut collab cream. So it wasn't like normal dairy cream. And I think that was good, because I think like normal, that coconut collab stuff is good anyway, but it's the normal cream would have been really, really, really heavy. So anyway, that's your kind of base for your sauce. And then you sprinkled in your cheese. So that was a lot of cheese. It, like I said, it was like I used a mix of cheddar and I used a an Emmental. Right. And then she says to put in 2 ounces of grated Parmesan as well. So it's like 3 cheeses in there. It was decadent. And then she says, add a few big spoonfuls each of Dijon mustard and Worcester sauce. She says about 3 each, but taste and add them. When I put in like 1.5 of Worcester sauce, and that was already like so strong.
Yeah.
And yeah. As people know, but yeah, Worcester sauce isn't strictly veggie for anyone. if you need to know,
isn't
that
it?
This isn't.
I didn't think no, I knew that.
It's got anchovy in there. So heads up to any veggies, if you're making this, you might want to use a vegan version. But yeah, so I wouldn't put in that full quantity of Worcester sauce again. And the mustard was definitely, yeah, you could use the full quantity because that was kind of nice and cut through. And then she says to put in loads of black pepper. So that's your cheese sauce. Basically, then you stir your pasta into that cheese sauce and you put in the greens. And yeah, it's like 14 ounces of greens. So I actually just only used like obviously half of that. And I think even a little bit less, because maybe that's where you need the sauce. Is if it's kale or something that you're using, maybe that would like need more sauce to coat it. Anyway, so you put that in your baking dish. She says a 9x13. You bake it for 15, 20 minutes. And then on the side, you melt some butter and you put in some panko breadcrumbs. Toast that. And then for like 4 to 6 minutes, you salt that. And then you, just before the mac and cheese is done, you sprinkle that breadcrumbs over those breadcrumbs over the top. And you finish it off baking for like 12 minutes or so. And that's it. So it was... it was delicious, but it was very rich. And it takes a lot for me to say that. I can eat like rich things. It doesn't put me off, but I was a bit like, whew, it was a lot.
I think
what pushed it over was the cream in the sauce and then just the sheer amount of cheese. But it is a lovely concept and it's really nice to have the greens in there. I would say spinach is probably the best because it kind of disappears a bit. And the breadcrumbs, obviously, as we said in our Patreon episode recently about how we make like mac and cheese, they make such a difference.
Yes.
So yeah, that was really good. I did like
was
that.
It salty?
It was quite salty. And what I would say is just like maybe just have it as a side with something. It was a lot to have on its own. But yeah. And I think it would be very, yeah, I don't know. Her picture looks quite saucy. But anyway, I like the concept. I think you could like play around with it to your own taste because it's going to be quite strong for some people.
I feel like that would be a good like take it to a potlucky dinner, right? Like, people are just having a tiny bit of it.
Yeah, exactly. So she says what we haven't mentioned is that the top of each of the recipes she has what they go with. Other recipes in the book that they go with. And so for this rarebit mac and cheese, she has goes with put the lime in the coconut cornbread with salty coconut jam. So I made that, but I didn't make the salty coconut jam. So that's why I only made half.
Okay.
Just because I kind of ran out of time and I wasn't really sure. I just felt like you weren't going to eat the mac and cheese and the cornbread with the coconut jam. So I feel like the bread and the coconut jam was its own entity.
Yes.
Whereas I was having a little bit of the cornbread with the mac and cheese, and so I didn't need the jam.
Yeah, understood.
So yeah, I'll just talk through how to make the cornbread, which I haven't made loads of cornbread in my life, but I presume this is fairly standard. So you melt some butter. Then you kind of zest limes into some sugar and you rub the sugar with the lime zest to make it nice. And the oil of the zest goes in. You whisk in the melted butter, 2 eggs, juice of 3 limes and coconut cream.
3 limes.
Yeah. And then in a separate bowl, you whisk your dry stuff. So flour, cornmeal, baking powder, baking soda and a teaspoon of salt. And you put your wet into the dry or dry into the wet. And then you bake it. But before you put it in the oven, you scatter over like shredded coconut on top. Now, this made loads. I had a standard loaf tin and it was full, and I could make a whole other thing of like little muffins with a muffin silicone mold. So it was a lot of batter. You could probably comfortably have this as well. And it was, I did like this, but it was very sweet. Mm. It was quite sweet. And I don't know if I like that. I don't know. Basically, I need to eat authentic cornbread in my life is what I've understood. Because I always thought it was more savoury. And this felt more like a cakey kind of thing.
Yeah, like a dessert almost.
So I'm sure it would be nicely countered by that salty coconut jam, which I think, yeah, as we said, it's salty. But yeah, it didn't really go with the mac and cheese. It was not, they were nice on its own. So yeah, I don't know if I can talk to that one really, because I just feel like, yeah, it was just a bit strange. It was good. It was good, but it was just maybe not to my taste.
Yeah, it wasn't what you wanted.
Yeah. And then the last thing I made.
Interesting.
Yeah. Was the cold noodles with grated tomato and chili oil. The pages are stuck together, bear with. and this is great. This is really quick. And it was, you make some jammy eggs and then you make some sauce. They were good, yeah. You make a sauce with grated raw tomato. Obviously, I know tomatoes are not the best at the moment. It's November, but I found some okay vine ones. You grate the tomatoes, then you grate in some garlic cloves and you juice, add in some lemon juice. And into that, you whisk olive oil and soy sauce and salt. And then you put in, so you've got this kind of tomato-y loose sauce, all like cold and raw. And then she says to whack a big handful of basil sprigs and you kind of bruise them on the counter and then you add them into the tomato sauce and you kind of bury them in there, but you pull them out later. And so in the meantime, you cook your noodles. She says to use like ramen or what's the other thing? Ramen or pasta. I did like egg noodles because I had them. You cook them and you rinse them under cold water until they're chilled. And then you put them in the bowl of your tomatoey sauce with lots of sesame seeds. And then when you're ready to eat, she says you can chill that then if you want for 8 hours. I just ate it straight away because it was dinner. But I wasn't ready to wait.
I'm hungry.
I was really hungry. So then you, yeah, divide up the noodles and the sauce into bowls. And then you thinly slice 4 spring onions. You put the spring onions on top and you put loads of chili oil. I've got this cool white Maosu sauce that someone got me for my birthday. And it's a peanut Ryu chili oil. It's delicious. Put that over, drizzle that over, and then you put some basil leaves and some more sesame seeds. And that was great. I really enjoyed it. It was delicious. Great. And a great dinner came together in like 20 minutes max.
Excuse the pun.
And great lunch. I put it then in my, because when you were in the office yesterday and you asked me what I had for lunch, because all we do is talk about food, I was like, I'm not telling you because it was the leftovers from my Molly Bars thing and it was these noodles. But I really like these. I think I'm going to end up making them loads of times for just like a quick weeknight dinner.
Didn't even look at this recipe. I don't know why. But it looks great. And I have noodles. No, I always have noodles, but I have...
Tomatoes?
Tomatoes. I got them in my odd box. I was counting them with Marcus this morning.
how many are there? Go,
8, I believe.
Oh, that's
loads. They're quite little. Baby one, as Marcus says. We were going through my odd box and I was teaching him the names of various things.
Bless. That was very wholesome and cute. Make these.
That sounds great. They're really good.
Yeah, you have everything. Like, yeah, it's another thing where you almost have everything as well.
Yeah.
What else did you want to make then?
How does she do her jammy eggs? Just to.
Oh, sorry. 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
And then into an ice bath.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. 6 minutes is. I saw just for the listeners who know how much we all love jammy eggs on this pod. I saw someone make on TikTok them in. No, it was on TikTok. In the air fryer.
Yeah.
Just literally putting eggs in the air fryer for like 8 minutes or something, 6 minutes. then ice bathing them. And I have to do that. I might do that tonight.
That is, yeah, genius. Yes, what else did you want to make?
Loads. I've written down a list of the things I wanted to make, and it's 8 things, including, not including, all of the chicken section. Mm. All of the chicken section is great. There's a couple of, like, fried chicken and, like, chicken tenders that I'm not going to deep fry chicken because I don't want to burn my house down. But something I very almost made, but it lost out to the chicken soup, was the red curry chicken wings, which you roll in peanuts.
Yeah, they look great.
And speaking of rolling in peanuts, the peanut shortbread.
Yes. She loves peanuts. Yeah,
she loves peanuts, and she loves, like, a not too sweet dessert. And so they're, like, rolled in, like, I think it's like a cardamom, black pepper, peanutty dust, essentially.
Yeah, her dessert section really, I really want to try loads of them. I was really tempted by the salty coffee and peanut slice cream thing, which is almost like a semi-freddo that you put in the, and it looks delicious.
And the stuffed focaccia. I was interested that you didn't make that.
I was maybe tempted. You would have. Yeah. I was close.
That looks great. It's like stuffed with, like, cheese and greens, right?
Yeah.
It's,
does she love anything more than, cheese and greens, shoving cheese and greens into things?
Yes.
Are you tempted by the marinated zouk and motts with fried sunflower seeds?
No. I was tempted by the garlic bread, though.
Yes, that looks delicious.
It's like a whole challah loaf with... Mm-hmm. She calls it triple threat, but I was like, I don't know where I'd get a challah loaf from. I guess you could do it with a brioche.
Yes. Not the rare bit. The crispy rice egg in a hole looked fun as well.
Yes, that's on my list as well. Looked fun. You could just make that. You know, why not? And then my left field thing that I almost made, but Stephen was like, I won't eat that. was the sesame biscuits with black pepper miso mayo from the breakfast section.
So
it's like biscuits with country gravy, but like with a black pepper miso sesame vibe.
Nice. That looks great. I very nearly made the pistachio brown butter and halva chocolate chunk cookies,
I thought of you when I saw that.
Probably like 4 of my favourite things.
Yes.
Pistachios, brown butter, halva and a cookie. But did my stupid local supermarket have pistachios? No. This is ridiculous. Oh. I live in a gentrified area, and if I can't get shells of pistachios...
Well, you could get halva, but you couldn't get pistachios.
I actually didn't even make it to find the halva. I know where to get the halva, actually. There's a Turkish shop locally, but couldn't find pistachios. What a joke. Anyway, shall we rate?
We should rate. Shall I tell you about our rating?
Oh, yes, Hannah? Please. Okay. Oh, since you asked.
So if you're new here, if you're Molly Baz and you're listening, please go back to the previous.
There is so many things. What did we rate her out of the last time?
I can't remember.
Oh, it was like abbreviations, wasn't it? I think it was. Yeah.
So if you're new here, we always rate every book that we do on 5 different categories.
Yeah.
And those categories are... usability and accessibility, that's one. Ingredients used, that's another one. Veggie friendliness, aesthetics and inspirability.
Yay.
And every episode we change what we rate out of based on the chef or the book or whatever. And Molly Baz is ripe for this. She has so many options. You could just go in hard with lemons. You could go in with umam.
Morty D.
Doesn't she love Morty D?
She does, yeah.
I was disappointed by the sandwich section, I'll be honest. I was excited to see it, but there wasn't anything that floated
really
my boat. We are going to rate Molly this time out of glugs of olive oil.
Nice.
Glug.
Glug.
Glug. It's a good word. It's definitely an onomatopoeic word, isn't it?
You carried the pronunciation of that word off beautifully.
Thank you.
I kind of fancy you a little bit.
Oh, thanks. That's really nice. I really haven't been feeling very great today, and so that's made me feel very happy. Thank you. I will be sure to send you lots of voice notes that say glug in there. So, tell me, how many glugs of olive oil would you give More is More?
More is More. How do you like it? How do you like it? I got told by my boyfriend this morning because I woke up and started singing some terrible song I can't remember, and I sing very badly. He was so cruel. It was like, you've got such a beautiful singing voice, in the most like sarcastic tone ever, and now when I know I can't sing, but I do it because it's funny, and now I can't sing on this podcast anymore because he's slated my beautiful.
Well, I think you have to dump him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
that's the only reason. Sorry, bye.
Anyway, an insight into my life you didn't need or ask for.
No, I loved it.
Usability and accessibility: one glug of olive oil. Ingredients used: one glug of olive oil. Aesthetics: I'm on the fence. I don't know. Maybe a half. It offends me in some ways, and it kind of jars. I don't love how she lays out the ingredients sometimes in terms of like protein, dairy, pantry. Yes. Kind of puts me off.
It's good for shopping, but not good for like follow cooking. Like, yeah. Understanding how you're going to need to follow the recipe. Yeah, I agree.
So maybe half of that. Veggie friendliness: also a half. When they're there, they're good, but there's not enough of them.
Yeah.
In my books. And inspirability, I will give it one because I was excited to try a good few things in here.
Yeah.
So it's four glugs of olive oil out of me for More is More.
Out of me.
Out of me? Is that what I said? It's been such a long week.
Oh, the glugs. Do you think we might get signed to a record deal from this podcast? I think we could.
Well, that would be one way to show Tom.
You know, he'd be like, I'm too famous now, I'm going to go date. So I don't know which famous artiste you would like to date.
Leave that one with me. What about that little... what about that? Danny DeVito.
Okay.
No, yeah, okay, Dana DeVito's dream crush. This incredibly tall woman. Like, anyway, Victoria, how many glugs of olive oil out of five? We always lose it a bit towards the end.
Harry Styles, I think, would be mine if we're talking music industry.
Okay, yeah. You hit a Molly basket of all your flares.
Because I'm fucking desperately basic. Like, what a fucking basic choice. You're out there choosing Danny DeVito. Harry Styles. Me and 4 million other teenage girls. Others. I am not a teenage girl.
Oh,
I was
God.
A teenage girl. Literally a teenage girl ago.
I mean, let the records show that I only said Danny DeVito because I said little. He's not my dream. A very lovely, entertaining man, I'm sure, but we'd look ridiculous together. Anyway, how many glugs of olive oil?
Usable and accessible. I'm actually giving it half.
Oh.
Because I was annoyed about the cup situation.
Yeah.
And the same with the like layout and
yeah, annoying.
It's not as easy to follow as no. Also, what we haven't mentioned is every single recipe in this book has a QR code for either a video and audio or both.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did have a look at one of the videos and yeah, they're very obviously very slickly done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was a bit too much.
Yeah. Going on,
you know.
Yeah.
Annoying. Yeah, so that's a half. Ingredients use, one. Veggie friendliness, also half, because I really felt that for you. For you and our fellow veggies. Nothing for vegans. Literally nothing. Like, I feel like everything that is veggie is just covered in cheese. Aesthetics 1 and inspirability 1. I love the way it looks, and there's lots of things that I wanted to cook. So it's a 4 for me as well, but a different 4.
8 out of 10. Glug glug, all of us.
Glug glug, bitches. Cool. Thanks, Molly.
Thank you for the journey. I think just every time she has a book, we're going to have to do it. That's the real.
Yeah.
Her and Alison, maybe.
Mm.
To say that was a lukewarm response would be an understatement.
Who's Luke? I just saw that her dog is on the front cover.
Tuna.
I would make those onion rings, to be honest, that are on the front.
Yeah, they look great. I like a little product placement of her Molly Baz pot cookware there as well.
Obviously.
Anyway, my headphones have died, dear listeners. So it's a sign that
too many abbreviations.
Well, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. And let us know if you buy Marley's new book or enjoy anything from it.
It is good. It's a good book. Well, we've rated it well. Yeah. I think more veggie, slightly less chaotic pages.
Yes.
And yeah, some grams would be nice. Doing it for the grams.
Doing it for the gram. I think she's married to a designer, right? So that's why it gets all... Yeah, change of font next time, Molls.
Her husband's a bit of a dish.
You think?
Yeah, would.
Maybe you can maybe steal him when we become international pop stars.
Bye, Danny. It's been nice.
On to Benny. I believe he's from got Danny Benny's to Benny. Chicken tenders in there. Which
Frankie
great.
And Benny. Yes, thank you for listening. We love you very much.
We love
and
you
we'll
so much.
See you soon.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review, as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.